know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. God knows you.
Yes, he does. Turn to somebody and say, God knows you. That used to terrify me when I wasn't living for God. It's like, oh man, he watches everything. Now it's a great comfort. Jeff and I are, you're going to witness a miracle today. We are going to try to both speak in 5 minutes. Why do you guys always say woohoo? How come it's like, no, go for an hour? We're going to take it. Yeah, timer. Everyone set their timer. We're not going yet. Not yet. Because some of you might know this, but it's going to be, it's my privilege for Deb and I to announce that our son Josh and his beautiful wife Jerrica are going to have a baby. Josh is like, and Jerrica's like, Josh is running the victory lab. Jerrica's like, sit down, Josh, sit down. But we are excited to add to our family. We're excited that new life is coming. And thank you for prayers and thank you for celebrating with us because we're all family. Yes and amen. Okay, start the clock. Jeff and I have been making this statement for a long time, and most of it has been by faith. Church is going to be different. And so with that can conjure up a lot of ideas, like are we going to do Sundays different? Are we going to ask, you know, what is this going to look like? And honestly, we have said this by faith because we felt the Lord impressing that on our heart. But we didn't have like, this is what it looks like, this is what it looks like. But as we have been meeting and praying, we've come to understand that church won't be different, church will be different. That God is doing something in us. Now, what I love about Jeff and I, our partnership, and everyone as we partner together, because it's more than Jeff and I, it's everybody coming together, using their gifting in the name of Jesus Christ, is that I am a foundation layer. My whole life, we've just laid foundations. We've tore up foundations that have been unhealthy, and we've planted healthy foundations. I am not a builder, though. You would not want me to build your house. You would not me want to put anything together. I am not very good at that. Jeff is a builder. So what we are doing is we're coming together, foundation layer and builder, along with all the gifts in the body of Christ, discovering who we are, and we are now building something that is going to go beyond us. So as we have been talking, there's three things of a foundation that we've been laying, and we're going to add to that today. Not more things, but to solidify it, things that the Lord's showing us in my heart and our passion together. It's first is, remember, it's the covenant of Jesus that we're focusing on. Luke 22:20. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. That the reason we're here is because Jesus Christ loved us, gave his life for us, so that we might become sons and daughters of the living God. Would somebody say yes and amen to that? That is huge. Without that, nothing else works. We've got to understand and know who we are in Christ. And not that we're just saved going to heaven, but the promises given to us as his kids, living in the reality of the new covenant. The second thing is the command of Jesus, John 13:34-35. As I have loved you, this is his command, the new command, so love each other. By this, all men will know you're my disciples, when you love each other. So it's not us trying to love each other in our own strength. It's as we understand who we are in Christ, we receive his love. Now that love has to go somewhere. Because it's not, I love you, God. It's as I love you and you love me. We love each other in the way that God says we are to love each other throughout the scripture. And the last foundation is this, the prayer of Jesus. John 17:17 and on, where he says, Father, my prayer is for those who will believe in the message. Their message, talking about the disciples, that they would be one, Father, even as we are one. That the world would know that you sent me, and that they would believe that you have loved them even as you love me. So, how is church going to be different? We are going to make our focuses on what Jesus says is a focus. His command, his covenant, and his prayer. Now, to lay on that command even more, to expand that command even more, Jeff and I feel like there's added to that, but it's the same thing. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you'll turn in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 13, and I am almost done. I'm watching the clock. Paul says, oh, thank you, Josh. I'm going to speak to you. He says, you got time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, he says, now these three remain. How many knows what they are? Say it out loud. Faith, hope, and the greatest of these? Okay. When Paul says now, what he's saying is, now this is the end of my argument, that temporary things are going to go away. Knowledge, prophecy, tongues. I will not be up in heaven teaching you the Bible. That's going away. But there are three things that are eternal. Three things that are going to go on beyond our life here on earth. Three things that are last that God uses temporary to teach us the eternal. Faith, hope, and love. That these three are going to last beyond our time and throughout eternity. That our faith and our hope and our love will continue to grow throughout eternity. Can you imagine a hope without sin? Can you imagine a hope without suffering or pain? Can you imagine God developing a life of hope without the challenges that this earth brings? That's what heaven is going to be like. Faith, confidence, trust in God forever. And a love that goes on forever and ever and ever. So, adding to the foundation, Jeff and I feel like the covenant, the command, and the prayer, overlapping on that established foundation, is for Echo Hills Church to focus their lives on the eternal things. That God will use the temporal, the now, to teach us the eternal. But for us to have an idea, an understanding, a vision, a lens to look at life this, that no matter what you're going through in life, God is developing eternal qualities in your life, even in the difficult challenges of life. Even Paul says in Thessalonians, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. That the suffering, Hebrews chapter 12, endure hardship. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father. That when we understand the eternal, it helps us to see life in a whole different light. Because we're looking through the eyes of the eternal and not through the eyes of the here and now. So as we go through the here and now, as we go through the challenges, when we lay the foundation, and Jeff's going to build on it in just a moment, as we lay this foundation of understanding, God is developing eternity in our hearts today. That we are people who have an eternal perspective and not a temporary perspective. So as you watch the news and you see what's going on in our world, if you look it through the temporary eyes, you become very fearful or cautious or wonder. But when you look through the eyes of the eternal, you see God's hand working even in the midst of difficulties to bring his purposes along in our world for his cause and his purpose. Now, here's my last thought. You can't take one verse from the Bible and create a theology of it about it unless the Bible defines the Bible. It's got to be throughout the scripture for you to be able to theology on it. So you can't just take one verse, like Jesus walked on water. Okay, that's a verse. So next week we're having walk on water class, right? Though God can do that, it's not a theology. We have to have throughout the scripture, can we see this throughout the Bible? So today in our introduction, let me just give you a few of the verses that Jeff and I are going to expand on in the coming year. First is this, Galatians 5:6, where Paul says, all that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. So here we again see faith and love. Now, you will see faith, hope, and love in Scripture combined, but you will primarily see faith and hope, love and faith, and faith and love. You'll see these three intermix because they're not three different things. They're really one thing with three expressions. So let me really quickly, Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 5, where Paul says, we now rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, here's our word, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love within our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. We find in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hope for the evidence of things not seen. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul says, we continually remember for our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 15:13, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust, that's faith in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what are we doing? The covenant, the command, and the prayer, and the three eternal things, faith, hope, and love. As we build our lives on these things, it is a firm foundation for no matter what happens in our world, we are strong in Christ because we're building our life on things that are eternal. So our marriages, our families, our finances, everything about us is that we are looking through the eyes of eternity and we're sowing now with an eternal perspective. We got to get out of the idea of what's about it today. We got to see beyond into the eternal. Man, it's hard to preach 5 minutes. I'm telling you, it is. It's easier to preach 40. So there's so much you want to expand on. What about this? What about that? But I'm not. I'm going to be disciplined. So let's lay the foundation. Covenant prayer, covenant command and prayer, faith, hope, and love. And as we expand this in 2020, Jeff's going to come and he's going to express to us how to build on our foundation. Can we bless Pastor Jeff as he comes to minister?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Good stuff. You with us? Do you feel a stirring in your spirit? Come on. Say this with me. I have revelation. I have active faith. I'm a child of God. Come on, when we let those things operate in our life, revelation, activation, and participation, life changes. And oftentimes those things that we long for, like more revelation about a situation, a fruitfulness because of participation, we need to go and look at our foundation. And one of the things that we believe we're building on this year in this perspective of 2020 and beyond is that faith, hope, and love and the covenant commandment and prayer are essential. So you're going to hear us teach on that. But what I want to just introduce to you and give you some thinking tools this morning, and then I'm going to invite some others up, is that if we get that understanding, if we get that foundation, all of a sudden, what you and I discover is that we are empowered. We are empowered to live this incredible life. The word empowered means to possess the authority and power to live confidently. Our confidence is in Christ, right? So we are empowered to live in such a manner that all of a sudden, life around us is influenced by us. The life around you is to be influenced by you. And your life gets influenced by Christ at work in you and through you. So the phrase we're saying is empowered to love, live, and lead. You and I, by the Spirit of God, have been empowered to love, live, and lead. And we're going to spend the year and years to come developing this, building on this. We don't believe this is new in any way, but we're walking with fresh revelation. We're walking with a sense of renewed strength in that, oh Lord, now things make sense. Some of you who have a prophetic gift, you've been seeing things in the Spirit for years, but it hasn't connected to time. And I thought Josh's word about time was significant. So much so that I would even add this encouragement to you. Keep this in front of you every single day for the next few months. Lord, what are you wanting to speak to me about my time? How I manage my time, what I say about time, what do I consider to be timing? Because I guarantee you, the one thing and the only thing that the enemy can steal from us that we cannot get back is time. He can take your joy, but you can get renewed joy. He can take your hope, but we can have hope restored. The thing that Jesus gave us when he gave us new life was he gave us new time. He gave us a new timeline, and that's eternity. And I'm not saying he can take eternity from us. I mean, he could rob us and keep people from going to heaven because they don't confess Jesus Christ. But today is all I have and all I'm promised. Tomorrow's a new day, but none of us are guaranteed it. So are you living empowered? And the five things that I just want to share with you, and I'm going to use a few others to share these things, we've put on a bookmark. And down the center of the aisles here, if you could just grab that and pass them out, I'd like for you to begin to look at these. It's just a simple little bookmark. Pastor Mike and I are committed to you walking in the Word. You might have to get up and move them around this morning to get them passed out. We're committed to you being in the Word. So I pray that this bookmark ends up in your Bible. And that next week you'd bring your Bible with this bookmark in it because we're going to continue to expound on it. But you'll notice on this bookmark, we're considering 2020 and beyond. Jennifer had a great word last Sunday. If you weren't with us, you can get it online. But this idea of looking beyond this moment, looking beyond the here and now, realizing that the Spirit of God in you wants to speak to you now, both for the present, but also for the future. That some of the decisions that we need to make need the revelation of what's to come. Whether we ever see it or not, it should have an influence on how we make our choices. That's why the foundation of eternity through faith, hope, and love, the covenant, the command, and the prayer is so important to us. Because it's going to influence how we make our choices. And some of you, you have a testimony of bad choices. You've suffered the consequences of making bad choices. And as the body of Christ, what we are called to be to the world is the expression and the likeness of heaven on earth. And the greatest choice that any single human being can make is one of allegiance to Jesus Christ. Because it will radically transform our life. It will radically transform our cities. Transformed cities happen because transformed people live in them. And so these five initiatives, we're launching them today as prayer initiatives. We're launching them as things to begin to intercede. We're launching them as things that we're going to pray through and begin to speak into and speak about. Let the Lord speak to us about them. They're just simple statements. But when we begin to put them on the foundation of eternity, when we begin to put them in the perspective of 2020 and beyond, when we begin to understand that there are activities and participation responsibilities that we carry in order to facilitate fruitfulness in these areas, all of a sudden they may look a little different than they've ever looked before. So the first two, abiding in love and reigning in life, I'm going to ask that we just stand for a moment and we just link hands across this room. So you'll have to move into the aisles. You have to move towards the center. Let's just do this. With the exception of the people on the ends, you have somebody on your left and on your right. And as the body of Christ, we are called to abide in love. That we are going to be a people found abiding in love. And this posture is one of receiving his love and giving his love, as Pastor Mike just said. It's not enough just to try to go love people. It's not enough just to say, oh, I'm in love with the Lord and I'm a lone ranger. No, love has a capacity to influence our life and influence the lives around us. And I want you to right now be very conscious that as your hand is being held, the Lord is holding your hand as well. So Heavenly Father, just begin to thank him, begin to praise him, begin to bless the person on your left and right. Pray for a revelation, an activation of their faith, participation of, Lord, we are going to abide in love. We are going to be found abiding in intimacy, abiding in a type of love that radically transforms our perspectives, that radically activates our faith, that causes us to go through things that others would consider crazy and insane, but Lord, if it's you, then we're willing to be out of our mind. Yes. We're willing to go and see the radical. We're willing to go and see the miraculous. And we're not going alone, but we go together. And so we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the hand that's on the left, that hand that's on the right. We thank you for that hand and its representation of a living being that you love and you desire to be actively at work in and through, to reveal the kingdom of heaven through. To speak to reveal intimate secrets and truths about your love and your ways and your power. Come on, just in your own words, just bless them. Just thank them. Just thank the Lord for them. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you are holding hands of children. Just bless them. Come on, they got a great opportunity ahead of them to be city takers, nation builders, transformers. Come on, the beautiful picture last week from Dwayne Grogan when he got up wearing his Batman shirt. A five-year-old in a Batman shirt is invincible. Come on, the attitude. They can do anything they believe. Come on, no kid ever talks about growing up and being a garbage collector. Come on, nothing wrong with doing that job. I'm grateful for it because I got garbage in my home. But come on, they dream of bigger things. So come on, unlock the dreamers right now that you're holding the hands of. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Amen. Would you let go of that hand and take a step away from each other and just create a little bit of space? You might have to move back out to the outside. Some of you stay still. Our second prayer initiative that we're going after, which only follows in sync with abiding in love, is this idea of reigning in life. In Romans 5:17, it talks about that the sin of one, the transgression of one, caused the fall of the rest of us. But that the life of one, the abundance of that righteousness, allows us to reign in life. Come on, we can reign in life through the abundant sacrifice and grace and power of Jesus Christ. And I want you just again to consider the life that you're living right now and the space that's around you. I want you to consider the abundance that God wants to pour out and place in your life as a living testimony of his goodness and his grace. A living testimony of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to not just give you more possessions, but to make you know that you are his possession. And that the space in your life would be reflected upon right now in these three areas. Lord, am I reigning in life with my relationships with others? And if not, I'm committing to saying, Lord, that's got to change. Help me. Am I reigning in life to where I am generous and I'm a giver? And the third thing is, am I reigning in life in such a manner that when I'm gone, the gospel of Jesus Christ will still be impacting lives that I've impacted? Come on, I want you just to think about your space, the life that you've been called to reign in. What's keeping us from reigning in life? What's keeping us from the abundance? And I'd like for you just to take a moment and gather with one or two other people that are standing right around you and lay your hands on them in such a way that you begin to speak life over them, that they will reign in life. And just bless them. And I'm going to give you about a minute to do it. It's not a lot of prophecy time, but just a quick blessing of reigning in life. Come on, just bless them for a moment. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Amen. We're just going to keep going. I want you to welcome Josh Pilon up this morning. He's going to take our next point.
Hello. Oh, there we go. Awesome. About 5 years ago, I had a radical encounter with joy, and it forever marked my life. Actually, I had a friend with me when I got rocked by joy. Do you remember that? She knew it wasn't me because I didn't. I was kind of what do you call that? An oak of righteousness. So the best way to describe that is in worship, I was like, didn't mean that I didn't think God was good, but then I just got wrecked by joy, totally wrecked and flattened by the Lord in joy. And since then, I've been on this crazy adventure, this crazy journey to discover all of God's goodness and the joy that comes in following the Lord. And I love it. So one of the things I wanted to talk with you this morning about is joy. The believer is designed to be a joy factory. You have been created to move and to live and have your being in joy. And what I found is that in this joy, it begins to give you access. I found out that joy is my favorite weapon because it's the doorknob to walk into thanksgiving. It's the doorknob to walk into breakthrough. It's the doorknob that I use to walk through and access the goodness of God in my life as a father, as an employee, as a pastor, as a husband. In each and every area of my life, I found that joy has become my access point to the goodness of God. And so I feel like one of the things that the Lord would highlight to you this morning is how important joy will be in this next era, in this next season of your life. Because here's what I believe. I believe that joy secures your season. How many of you know that if you walk around a mountain and you don't actually go up the intended path and find where you're supposed to go, you get to walk around the mountain again? Has anybody ever done that before? Yes, man. And that is, that's a seasonal thing. You were not designed to continue to walk around that mountain. You were designed to go up the mountain and to encounter God and to find breakthrough. And then guess what? You get another season. And what does that mean? Well, Lord, let's go for a hike. It's going to be good. So I want to share with you a little bit about joy this morning because we find it throughout Scripture. I love how Pastor Mike said, hey, we can't pull one particular verse out and then begin to build a theology around this. You'll find this throughout all of Scripture. In fact, you'll see this in the life of Jesus in a way that if you weren't looking for it, it might just surprise you. So let me share this with you right now. We are in an interesting season in time. If any of you enjoy watching the news, God bless you. But you know that it's super intense. And so I want to read this because I feel like it's fitting for the season that we're in. This comes from Psalm 2. And then I'm going to read the first four verses. So this is from the Passion Translation, by the way. How dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are foiled. Look at how their power brokers of the world rise up and hold their summit as rulers that scheme and confer together against Yahweh and his anointed king, saying, come, let's get together and break away from the Creator. Once and for all, let's cast off the controlling chains of this God and his Christ. I love the response from the Lord. Here's what I learned. There's some crazy things that happen, but can I tell you a truth, a bedrock truth? God is never out of joy. He never steps out of joy. He never steps out of peace. He's always in joy. And here's his response. God enthroned merely laughs, and the sovereign one mocks their madness. You know, one of the things that happens as we grow up, I feel like as children, I watch children move in a realm of joy that makes me jealous. It provokes me to jealousy, and it's okay because the Lord says, there's so much more for you. There's so much more for you. And we become adults and we go through really difficult and trying times. We go through things and we forget to access the joy of life. We forget to access the joy that comes in our relationship with God, the one that brings righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it may feel unnatural to step into joy, but let me submit this to you. We are actually more naturally apt to step into joy than you may actually think. But we have to, it's a choice. Can I tell you a secret? Joy, stepping into joy is a choice. You have to choose. And can I tell you what? It feels a little corny when you do in that first moment. But you have to partner with it. I've gone through some really interesting things this last year, and I've really needed joy. I've made some decisions in my life, and so my joy experience has been a little bit different. But I promise you this, I have access to joy in each and every place that I've put my foot. Even if there was a mistake. Whoops. That was a bad choice. Father, that's not who I am. Let's go on the right path. Thank you, Father, for joy. Thank you that you'd lead me in joy again. Let me read this verse to you. One of the reasons why God can sit in the heavens and laughs is because he knows his strength. How many of you have heard this verse from Nehemiah 8:10? It says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So what does joy do? It taps you into the strength of God. What? It actually does what the Bible says? Crazy. And so I want you to know, joy gives you access to the strength of the Lord. That means that if you're in a season or a time or something that's difficult that you can't handle, you need access immediately to the strength of God. How do you do that? You begin to give him thanks and you step into joy. In fact, I've done this in my living room before. Wow, I need joy. I'm stepping in. That's as hard as it needs to be. And I just step into joy. It's a choice. And does it seem corny? Yeah, totally. But I have to choose to partner with joy. Okay? Let me read this one last passage to you, because this is where we see joy in the life of Jesus. And it blows me away every time I read this. Yeah, we look away from the natural realm and fasten our gaze onto Jesus. Sorry, this comes from Hebrews 12, verse 2. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us, who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of God. Short version: for the joy that was set before the Lord, he endured the cross for you. Stop and think about that for one second. So Jesus did his march on Calvary, bearing the cross, for what purpose? Or how was he able to step in to that moment of purpose? Joy. Wow. Joy? Of all the words I thought you'd plug in right there, I'm not sure I would have used the word joy. Yet in this moment, it was the joy that was set before the Lord that he endured the cross for you. That is amazing. That's amazing. So here's what I want you to do. Can you put your hands out in the receive mode? Jesus, thank you for joy. Thank you for access right now. Thank you for the key of joy. In Jesus' name, amen. That's as easy as it is, you guys. Laugh often. Be reminded of the goodness of the Lord. His kindness and mercy endures, and his joy is with you. So step into it. Awesome. Jennifer Pelletier, you want to come up? She's got another one she wants to lead us through in something good.
If you want, I'm going to read out of Isaiah 6, so I can just read it to you. Or if you have your Bibles, you can certainly turn to it. It's Isaiah 6. And I realize I prayed part of this over each of you if you were here last Sunday, but I felt like the Lord, I'm supposed to be, my portion is cultivating a vision. And I felt like the Lord is talking about vision for the foundation of vision, that there is a source of all vision as we start moving out in greater vision. And this is from Isaiah 6. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, and I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." It. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." So Lord, I'm just going to pray over you. So Lord Jesus, I just thank you for each one of us The vision is Jesus. The vision is Jesus. And so, Lord, we set our face, we set our gaze. Lord, we say our vision is Jesus. Lord Jesus, it is you that we see, and it's you that we pursue after. It's you that we seek after. It is your face. It's being in the temple. It's being in your glory, Lord God. And the vision will always be Jesus. It will always be Jesus in every situation. It is Jesus. And Lord, the vision is also, and I felt like the Lord saying, the vision is holiness. Lord, that you have taken the coal, that you have taken the fire, and that you have cleansed each one of us. So, Lord, we see Jesus, and we see ourselves as set apart and holy unto the Lord. We see Jesus, and we see ourselves holy and set apart unto the Lord. And because we see Jesus, we say we are called to go. We are called to go. We, Lord, you say, who will go? And each one of us raise our hands and say, I will go. I will go. Lord, that you have commissioned us to go. Lord, that Echo Hills Church is an apostolic church, that we are a group of people who have been sent once, called to go, to bring the kingdom of Jesus wherever you send us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeff.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Mike, you want to join me? We're going to... Can we bless Jennifer and Josh? Our hope today was just to introduce a revelation about being empowered and about where we're going in 2020 and really beyond. The last statement on there that is on that bookmark, and again, I'm being serious. Keep this in your Bible. Bring it with you on Sundays. I'm going to be referencing it next Sunday when I preach. But it's launching a legacy. And many of us have heard the term, let's leave a legacy. But for Pastor Mike and I, the thought of leaving a legacy becomes very selfish. Meaning I'm motivated to do something about me, even though I can do it in the name of Jesus Christ. But to launch a legacy, and it's twofold. One, Lord, I'm obeying and launching and being launched and following in your footsteps, the echo of heaven that's still resonating today. But the other side of that coin is Pastor Mike and I are committed to equipping you to have eyes to see others that need help, that have a purpose and a calling in their life that needs launching. And the way Jesus helped his disciples to remain faithful to the echo, to the call, to the legacy, was he gave them communion. And so we're going to take communion this morning as the body of Christ. And in a moment, we'll invite the ushers up and they'll just stand up here up front. And we're going to invite you to come down and receive the juice representing the blood and the cracker that represents the body. And in a moment, Pastor Mike is going to pray and lead us in that communion and invite you down. But this last initiative only works. We will only see the fruit of being able to launch a legacy in ourself and the lives of others if we understand the value of love, if we get what it means to reign in life, meaning having dominion and authority and stewarding that dominion which we've been given, and it's right here on earth, leading with joy, choosing to step out and take the choice of laughing. I mean, I thought for sure Josh was going to have us raise our hands, open up the barrel, tilt up your head and just laugh. You know, it looks corny, but man, it changes who we are. Then we can begin to have a vision beyond our life. We can apprehend the visions of heaven, the visions that God has for our life and others, because that love is flowing in us and through us, which then brings us to this place of being empowered to have influence, to leave a legacy. And so with that, we're going to take communion, and I want you to have the mindset that, Lord, we are your sons and daughters. And as your sons and daughters, we resonate with the goodness and the glory of God. And that the legacy that we right now are stepping into, because mom and dad prayed up for us, grandma and grandpa prayed for us, somebody was faithful to obey the Lord and introduced us to Jesus Christ, is what we celebrate. But then we also celebrate the lives that we're influencing. Pastor Mike,
Ushers, if you come, if our ushers come, we're going to spread out so everyone has a chance to receive the communion. Also, if you have not come to a place yet of accepting Christ as your personal Savior, let this be your first public proclamation that I have chosen Jesus Christ as my Savior. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us have. That's the common denominator for all of us. But Jesus Christ gave his life. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us, that we might become sons and daughters of the living God. So that might be a parent with a child, where you might take a moment and just ask, how are you doing? Let this be a moment just to have that conversation. But understand that as we come forward, what we're doing, we're going to dedicate ourselves to 2020 to what Jesus wants Echo Hills Church to be. And Echo Hills Church is not a building. Echo Hills Church is us. And as soon as we walk out this building, we're still the church. And we want to be an influence in our valley and beyond. So would you stand with us? And I'm going to pray over the elements. And then you can come and receive it as a family, as an individual. But after I'm done praying, come and receive this elements. And let's dedicate ourselves 2020, not just for the year, but for this next decade. God, what do you want to do in my family, my life, this valley? Lord Jesus, you said, do this in remembrance of me until I come. We remember. We remember, Lord, your love for us that's been demonstrated by, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We remember. We remember the stripes that were upon your back. We remember the crown of thorns on your head. And we remember the blood that was shed for us, that we might have forgiveness of sins. We remember. But we also remember, Lord, on the third day you rose from the grave, never to taste death again. And now you have empowered us to live a life of resurrection. Because you tasted death for us, we can live for you. So as we take the cup and we take the bread today, we dedicate ourselves once again to the message, to the kingdom, to the purposes of God, to what you want to do through our lives. And we commit ourselves once again, Lord, to the cause of Jesus Christ. And Lord, what we choose today, what we plant today in dedication, we will see the harvest of this in the coming months and years. And we're expecting a good harvest because it's your kingdom. So we bless this family. We bless this valley. There are people this year and the next 10 years who don't even know it yet, but they're your sons and daughters, and they're coming to you. We say yes and amen to that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Family, come and let's receive the communion.
If we could go ahead and have the ministry team come up, that'd be great. Well, so a couple things. So first and foremost, if there was something, if there was a word that was spoken, one of the great privileges the ministry team has to do is to partner, with you in things that hey, there was a confirmation in what I heard this morning, and I want to step into that. And one of the ways that you can partner with a moment is to come up to a prayer team member and say, hey, this particular thing really spoke to my heart. Would you just pray with me? And we want to be able to say, Jesus, thank you for leading in joy, or thank you for creating a vision, whatever that would be. So we want to activate the word in you. So if there's something that was shared this morning and you're like, yes, I just want to step into it, but I'm not quite sure how, come get prayer. The other thing is, if you have anything going on in your body and you need healing, we know that Jesus is healer, and he loves to heal people. And we've seen lots of people healed in this church, and we love watching watching miracles happen. So if you've got something going on, whether it's the season and you got a cold or you got just the crud hanging around, we want to partner with heaven and see health in your body, okay? With that, we love you guys. Have an awesome week. And then if you guys want to get prayer, come forward.